Afghanistan is surrounded by 5 countries, all of which have closed their borders to Afghan refugees. But as the U.S. bombing campaign continues, many Afghans are finding their way across the Pakistani border, a journey that comes with a price. From the Pakistan-Afghanistan border, NPR's Eric Weiner reports.
Pakistan and Afghanistan are separated by a 100-foot-wide swath of desert, a no-man's land, constantly watched by Taliban soldiers with their white turbans on one end and Pakistani guards with their crisp green army uniforms on the other. The Pakistani side of the border is a frenetic collage of humanity on the move, donkey carts, overloaded trucks, motorcycles with entire families teetering on them. A few people are heading into Afghanistan, merchants doing business even during war, but mostly this is a gateway for people desperately trying to get out of Afghanistan. Most of the recent arrivals here came from Kandahar, the Taliban stronghold only 60 miles away, and the target of some of the heaviest U.S. bombardments. The bombs are falling like rain, says Bas Mohammed, who just arrived from Kandahar today. He describes a city that is barely functioning. No electricity, no water, no food, he says. Only a pervasive sense of fear.
The airport has been destroyed, and the people there are really in miserable condition. And there is nothing for the people to eat, and all of the people are suffering from the different kind of problems. So it is really a crucial time in Kandahar, and the people, they are just thinking this thing, that how to leave Kandahar and how to escape. This is the only thing in Kandahar which people are doing now.
The border crossing is awash with information and rumors. It's impossible to distinguish one from the other. The refugees speak of large numbers of civilian casualties in the Kandahar area, a claim that cannot be verified. Taliban soldiers, they say, have deserted the city, heading to the safety of the countryside or hiding in underground bunkers. Several refugees say Taliban authorities are training women in how to use automatic weapons. If true, that would mark a significant shift for a regime that does not allow women to work outside the home or travel anywhere without a male escort. Officially, this border is closed. Pakistan's already home to 2.5 million Afghan refugees, and Pakistani officials say they simply cannot accommodate any more. That's the official story, but unofficially, says Rupert Colville, spokesman for the United Nations Refugee Agency, an estimated 2,000 Afghans are slipping across the Pakistani border every day.
Some humanitarian cases, so that's sick people, old people, pregnant women, are sometimes allowed in. It's very variable, quite erratic. And then a lot of people are getting in through bribery, essentially, and through using smugglers.
People smuggling is big business in Afghanistan, and it's getting bigger every day as more and more Afghans try to flee the U.S. bombing campaign, not to mention the repressive Taliban regime and a 3-year-old drought that has decimated crops. The people smugglers are currently charging about $18 per person, a price that UN officials say has jumped significantly since the U.S. military campaign began. Imran Khan's story is typical. A farmer from the northern Afghan city of Mazar-i-Sharif, a region particularly hard hit not only by U.S. air raids, but also by the severe drought. Khan recently sold everything he had, down to the last frying pan and his wife's last piece of jewelry. Most of the money went to pay a smuggler who could guide Khan and his family across the border, bribing the right people in the right places.
When I think that I'm going to leave my country or my place where I belong to, my heart was in pain and my heart was burning. But still, what to do for a living? I just came here.
All told, it cost him $500, his life savings, to get from northern Afghanistan to his new home, a stone hut along a busy road in Quetta, Pakistan. It hardly seems like a step up. Khan and his family have to contend with snakes and scorpions and the ever-present eyes of the Pakistani police, who could deport them to Afghanistan at any moment. Since he's not an official refugee, Khan is not entitled to help from the UN or other international aid agencies. Khan says he does follow the news of the ongoing U.S. military campaign in his homeland, but like most refugees, he says he has no interest in his country's perennial power struggles. The Taliban, the former king Zahir Shah, It just doesn't matter, he says. I support whoever brings peace to Afghanistan, says Khan. All I want is peace. Then I can go home. Eric Weiner, NPR News, on the Pakistan-Afghanistan border.